turn with me to Psalm 150, and if you're able to stand, let's read this together tonight. Psalm 150. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. You may be seated. Years ago, somebody said, show me a man with a song in his heart, and I'll show you a fellow with an AM/FM pacemaker. So I'm not sure exactly how that works these days. My wife and I met as students in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and we were attending a Bible college there, and every once in a while, the load of announcements and special music and this and that and the other would crowd into chapel time. Imagine that. And there were days when Dr. Robertson would turn to Dr. Roger Martin, who happened to play trumpet. He taught trumpet there, among other things. And he said, well, brother, you only have 8 minutes left to give us something for chapel. Can you do this? And he said, well, Lord willing. And he would choose Psalm 150. I don't promise to get done in 8 minutes. Okay? But every once in a while, we look at things like this. And in Sunday school, I bit off a little bit more than I can chew. We're going through Kings and Prophets. Okay? It's going to take us a while. Amen?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like from 1 Samuel to Malachi, near as I can figure. All right? But so I got my work cut out for me. But it's an amazing thing when you look at when David got so joyfully filled with serving the Lord. Just thrilled that the Ark of the Covenant was coming to the city of David in Jerusalem. Now, I know. There's a city of David called Bethlehem, and there's a city of David called Mount Zion that's in Jerusalem. Work with me here, okay? You got to know which one is which. It's kind of like when somebody says an ark, well, which one, right? You want Noah's? You want the one that Moses was talking about when he was a baby? Or do you want the one that was built for in the wilderness, okay? Which ark, okay? So understand what's going on here. David was just ecstatic, and he danced before the Lord. Now, we independent Baptists, we don't believe in dancing, do we? We're going to wait about dancing until we get to heaven. I suppose that's the way it's going to work, you know? But isn't it interesting that he lists a whole bunch of instruments here? He lists a trumpet and a psaltery, and he lists a harp and a timbrel, and we've already mentioned the dance. He mentions string instruments. He mentions organs and loud cymbals. What does high-sounding cymbals mean? Anybody know? They're almost like fingertip cymbals that play a really high note, okay? So just make noise, folks, all right? But the trick of it is to make sure that you're glorifying the Lord.
Yes, sir, that's right.
In the way you're doing it. Now, again, we've been to some services where the piano player goes like this with the keyboard, and you'd think she was part Tennessee walking horse, you know? And you're like, are you doing this for show, or are you glorifying the Lord with all of this? Which is it? Does this make sense to you?
Yes, sir.
So when we come about with this thing of what about praise, In Hebrews 13, verse 15, it says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." And then you turn to Psalm 22 and verse 3, and it says, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." How does that psalm start? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Sometimes we need to praise in spite of what we're going through, because there's something better, farther along, associated with what our praise is headed towards.
That's good. Yes.
Okay? So we look at this time of year, and of course the Gospel of Matthew is announcing Christ as King of the Jews. And yet it was not for a political thing. It was not acquiring masses of land. No. It says that, "And he shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins," something they could never do themselves.
Right.
Politics come and go. Land masses either enlarge or shrink. But you can't do anything about your sins,
right,
except have a Savior. It's interesting, in Luke chapter 15 and verse 10, it says, "Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth."
Amen. Yeah.
So you look at this, and it's just, praise is something that, again, you don't have to look like you've been weaned on a lemon. Amen. Some folks just do. And we have plenty to praise the Lord about, do we not?
Amen.
So, we went to a church one time, and there was some young lady that was working on her master's degree in music. Our church had allowed her to do one of her things so that she could get a grade, and so she shows up and she's dressed right. She comes to the front and she makes her polished performance of her song. And it was beautiful. It was very well done. 2 or 3 weeks later, Brother Al Smith shows up. And he's in his later years, and he had to sit on a chair on the platform, and he sang exactly the same song, and there wasn't a dry eye in the place. Reason being, she knew the music. He knew the shepherd. All the difference in the world. Pam's grandmother lived in Coffee County, Tennessee, in the northern part of it, and that was an area that churches were few and far between. The Depression finally hit there sometime in the 1930s, and it stayed longer than it should have. And there was one church in the area that was Church of Christ. But this lady found salvation, and she was a shouter and she was a singer. But if you'd listen to her, I don't know if you'd ever think that she could carry a tune in a bucket. I don't know. Pam remembers her singing, but she knew she had salvation. And that is hard to find in a Church of Christ church. You've got to peel the onion layers back and just keep peeling before you find some truth. That's the way it is. And she found the truth and she was thrilled. She knew she was heaven bound. Amen. Didn't matter what came from the pulpit. What an amazing thing. Our paths crossed with a man by the name of Sam Rotman. Jewish fella. Is he in his 80s now? He's such a good piano player. He studied at Juilliard. While he was there, two or three Christians began to witness to him. And it took a while, but Sam Rotman got born again. And we heard him, and that little man is so full of joy. you just can't stop but being joyful with him. It's just wonderful stuff. In Luke 10, verse 20, it says, "Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven."
Amen. Amen.
When we go to Hebrews chapter 12, and I think this brings us back to the context of Hebrews 13:15. It says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." We wonder sometimes what that joy is. Well, you got to read the rest of the chapter and you get over into the chapter, and somewhere in the 20s of the verse numbers, it says that it's his fellowship with us that gave him that joy. We sometimes wonder why we keep on keeping on. Mm-hmm. We're sometimes prone to just forget our joy. And yet there's so much to be joyful for. And when I say this, comes back around to this verse that says, "By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise." Mm-hmm. And you couple that with, can you imagine being on the cross and having joy? You and I don't have the capacity to understand that. I don't think we do. And yet, you think about that. And folks, if he could have joy in a situation like that, I don't know what you're going through. But I know he can give you joy too. Okay, Revelation 5:9, and they sung a new song. I like singing.
Yeah.
I'm probably not real good at singing anymore. Time doesn't always help us in that regard. But these folks came out of the great tribulation. And it says, and they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands." Yeah. What did they come out of? What are they going to come out of? Saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain."
Amen.
to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature, how many of you heard that whales sing? Right? You can buy an album of the humpback whale singing. Now, I don't know that I would understand that too well, but I tell you who does understand it, the Lord does. And that whale is singing to the glory of God. How do I know that? Right here. Every creature. I don't sing nightingale, I don't sing robin, I don't sing blue jay. But whatever noises they make, it's to the glory of God. Amen?
Amen. Yeah.
And I tell you what, you might not be able, you might be one of those people that when you turn the radio on, all you get is static. But you can make a joyful noise to the Lord.
Yes.
Every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying. Oh, wow, all of a sudden you get to hear the creatures. Amen. I get to hear them saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Now, just as a side note, in the book of Daniel, King Nebuchadnezzar had his own orchestra, didn't he?
Yeah.
Now, I can't prove this historically, but there was one instrument that's mentioned in there that I'm sure must have been a G-sharp sackbut. I think the closest thing we'll find to that might be a bagpipe. I don't know. I'm just saying. Okay? Don't have a clue. One of our friends used to be a disc jockey at a radio station in Manchester, Tennessee. Their tower was just under 1,000 feet tall, and it could reach all the way to Monteagle, Tennessee, and all the way into Nashville. Many times he would sign off his program at roughly 10 p.m. by plugging in the Royal Scott Dragoon Guard bagpipe group playing Amazing Grace. So, you know, I don't know the history of bagpipes. Doesn't matter to me. I don't care if you use a wash tub up here with, and if you're playing it for the glory of the Lord and you're doing the best you know how, the Lord will understand.
Amen. That's good.
That you're making praise to him.
Yes.
There's a fellow many years ago named Jack Holcomb. How many have heard of him? Okay, all right. Yeah, he had a sign off on a radio station in Hollywood, California. Imagine this now, a Christian radio station in Hollywood of all places. And the sign off song was, "I wonder if I've done my best for Jesus." And that station stayed on the air for 45 years. It's no longer there. When's the last time you praised the Lord? I mean, really. Now, we live in a time when there's these churches that have these praise and worship bands. And that's fine if you really understand how to worship. I think you have to combine the two. And I don't see that a lot in what I understand about those praise and worship bands. David understood it. Can we? Brother?
given us a lot to think about. I hope that when you gather, when we gather corporately, that we're not going through the motions. Because all I can say is that Jesus Christ didn't just go through the motions. When he was on the cross, it said for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He did it with all his heart. And the least that he deserves from us is when we gather here that we give him our very best. And do it with all of our hearts. I appreciate the challenge tonight. I think it's worthy of an invitation this evening. So let's stand together, and we'll have the piano play. I'm going to pray, and if the Lord's worked on you, especially, how many of you could say, I've come to church most of my life, I've been in church. Would you raise your hand? And anything that we do for that long, that repetitively, can just become something else that we do. And I think it's good for us to examine ourselves tonight. How legitimately and genuinely do we praise and worship the Lord? I sure appreciate the truth. Father, thank you for challenging us, and I thank you for working in my own heart, Lord, even as I'm sitting there examining myself as a pastor, how many times I've gone through the motions or sung words, lyrics that weren't really part of my heart. They were just part of my mouth. And I don't want to just make noise. I want it to be joyful. I want it to be real. And I pray that you'd help us tonight to just truly examine where we are in this area. And thank you for the challenge. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.